is good to be back and feel almost like a visitor. Many of you demanded that I reintroduce myself, so I will. My name is Paolo, and I do call this home, and it is good to be home. How are you guys? Good? Uh-oh. I think it's time we do that again. Maybe I've been gone for too long. Turn to the person next to you, and you know what to tell them. You look beautiful this morning. Yes. It is good to see you guys. I'd like to thank our worship team. I don't know if you enjoy those moments, but I don't know. That does something to my heart. And I'm extremely grateful for them taking the time and leveraging themselves. Jackie, Melissa, Kevin, everybody else. I think they're all back there recuperating. But thank you for doing that for us and for making worship possible. Guys, had a good week? Yes? No? Man, we had a great week. Got back from traveling through 13 states in a matter of about 13 hours. There's a lot of states in the Northeast. Some of them are very little. So you can just drive 45 minutes and go through like three states, like Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New York. You can go through New York like twice, in and out of New Jersey. But it's been good to be back. And as we get back, we're now in full Advent season. How many of you are happy about Advent season? Christmas. Turn the radio station. It's everywhere. David Dildy is particularly happy about the Hallmark Christmas movies. Yes, I don't know if you caught on to that. Some of you did. yeah, it's a little bit for everybody. I love Christmas, and it's one of, I think, the most beautiful times of the year. And as we begin Advent, I just want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And over the next few months, we're going to just be spending time, over the next few weeks, with this whole thing called Christmas and Advent. So open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to spend a little time there. Then we're going to read a bunch of Psalms, and then I'm going to tell you a story and a few things that I have witnessed over the last couple of weeks. So let's pray and get started. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can spend this time together. It is a gift that we can be here. We pray for the rest of our family, wherever they are. A big chunk of them are at Virginia Beach with our school, with Tidewater Adventist Academy, representing there. We're so thankful for that. And I thank you for the gift that it is to be here and to be able to spend this time together. So I invite your Holy Spirit to be present here. May he speak to us. May he speak through us. And in spite of this flawed and broken and defective vessel you have chosen, may we see glimpses of you. And may we leave this place with joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. All right. It's also on the screens. If I could get the screens to work, which they're not working right now. Help. Nope. All right. Good thing I brought the Bible. Okay, there we go. And there were shepherds living on the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." Because at the heart of the Christmas story, there were shepherds. And in the story, there were angels. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, because I have good news, and this good news will bring joy to all people." "Do not be afraid," the angel said, "because I have joy." "Don't be afraid, because I have joy." Because at the heart of Advent, at the heart of this Christmas story, there is the promise of joy. Not fear, joy. Joy and fear do not get along. When joy comes, fear has to leave. When joy comes and enters the room, fear gets the boot. It's kicked out. Joy comes, fear leaves. The angel comes and tells the shepherds, do not fear, have joy. What is joy? We're going to read a bunch of psalms this week, but one of the psalms, and again, this is just not working, so Cindy, if you could help me, yeah, there we go. The Lord is my strength. This is Psalm David speaking, Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts him, and he helps me, and my heart leaps for joy, and with a song, I praise him. My heart leaps with joy. How does our heart leap with joy? Most of us wouldn't like our hearts to be leaping with joy. That sounds like a heart attack if your heart is leaping with joy, right? How does our heart leap with joy? And I started thinking about this thing called joy. And over the last couple of weeks, I've experienced a lot of joy. We went on vacation, you guys know that. And we left here on a Friday at about 4 in the morning. And the kids were kind of sleeping. And around 9 a.m., the kids were up and they were very tired of being on the road for a good 5-6 hours. So I pull up my phone and I'm going through New York and I find out that right there in the border between New Jersey and New York, there's an Argentinian bakery that sells these pastries called facturas. And I don't know what heaven will be like. Maybe the potatoes in heaven will be from Idaho and the coffee from Colombia, I don't know, but the pastries will be from Argentina. And I pull over and I get a dozen facturas, pastries, and my children haven't had any since we were in Argentina back in December, and I experienced joy. My heart leaped with joy, first of all, because we stopped driving for a while. The kids stopped yelling for a while, but then that joy began to spread. Look at Eliana's face. That's my little 2-year-old daughter. That is joy, and our heart just skip a beat as we savor what joy is like. And you would think that a good pastor would bring some facturas to share with you guys, right? I mean, that's what somebody who loves his church would do, right? And I did, but on Tuesday I changed my mind because I thought they're not going to understand my joy, and this facturas will bring far more joy to me than to you guys. So I ate them all, and that's why I'm not wearing a slim fit shirt today. I'm wearing more of a baggy shirt. But I brought you some chocolates. Anybody want some chocolate? I can share some joy. Any chocolate? See, but joy begins to spread. Anybody else? There we go. All right, there's enough for all three. Let's see. All right. Look at those boys. They should be on our softball team. Maybe we would have weathered better the championship game. Charles, you need to recruit. There are some kids over there. All right. Yeah, don't come to church to RJF when I'm here. You might get hit with something. And I'll leave things here for anybody who's audacious enough to come up front and get them. But joy, it brings great joy. Having something beautiful, something I can share. My children experienced joy. And from there, we kept on driving. And I experienced the joy of beauty. We were driving through those mountains there in Vermont going into Canada. Because last year, in December, we did the South Pole. I figured this year we need to do the North Pole. So we went all the way into Canada. You know, you just have to be in the extremes. And just the beauty of driving in nature. And then we got to Canada and we saw family and the beauty and the joy of family. And as we were there, we experienced the joy of -2-degree weather and about 20 inches of snow in November. Aren't you glad you live in Virginia Beach? And actually, I love it. I wouldn't mind that. But I know you guys don't like the cold much. But as we were there, we were just having a blast and experiencing joy. But then Christian noticed that some kids were having fun with these things called a sled. And he didn't have one, so he was kind of sad. So my uncle went and got him. Cindy's doing the clicker for me, and she's being amazing. She got him a sled. And you can see the joy in those eyes. He was so excited because all these kids were doing things, and now he had his very own sled. Christmas came early, like a month early, and he was jumping up and down. But then fear came. And then the joy stopped. Christian, get on it. Nope. And he just stood like this. And he started looking at the kids, and he just wouldn't go down. And he would walk down the hill, climb up the hill, but he just wouldn't get on the hill. Because when fear comes, sometimes joy leaves. But when joy comes, fear has to go away. So dad had to convince his little sister, convince his mother to be experiment, guinea pigs. And I love that picture, Scott. That picture is the tension between fear not wanting to leave and joy not wanting to show up early enough, and the tension of in between. And Cindy got on it, and very reluctantly, fear just didn't want to leave the room, and joy was just knocking down the door. We went down, and we just had a blast. And eventually, Christian decided to get on. Actually, I think I have a little video to show you how that went. Let's see if that works. So Christian eventually got over his fear.
Yes.
And there we go. And then there was fun. And the kids that were in the party, they just started jumping up and down. And they just had a blast. And sometimes for joy to come in, fear has to leave. And maybe dad had a little too much fun. Yeah, we can show it, Cindy. Why not? Dad maybe had a little too much joy and was a little overambitious. And then wear the glasses. And sometimes joy tastes like a mouthful of snow. Nobody told me that. But some very fun things happen. No, not hugs next. But sometimes fear has to leave for joy to come. And the funny thing is that after we did that, everybody started enjoying the sled. The sled was for Christian, but my brother-in-law used it, my sister used it, Cindy used it, my dad used it, but he forbid me from showing a video of him using it. But joy is a beautiful thing. It begins to spread. It's contagious. This week, some people in our family experienced joy. Maybe you saw some pictures online of a baby Nolan coming into this world, and you can experience joy. We have two grandparents here who are very proud. Second-time grandparents? Third time. Oh, that's right. Third. Silly me. Oh, my goodness. Third-time grandparents, and you just see Brandon and Stephanie, and they got to take their baby home, and there is joy, and joy just spreads, and it's contagious. Have you ever noticed how many likes those pictures get? And a few weeks ago, we had some bit more joy. Chris and Jackie got engaged. Congratulations, you guys. And then Jackie found out that her dress was one of a kind. Yes, and she went like, woo woo, right? Joy, and it spreads. And this is one thing that I love about girls who get engaged. Have you ever noticed how many poses you can do with your left hand? Because it's kind of like this, and putting your hand on Chris. And it's just joy, and it's contagious. It goes around, and we love it, and we engage with it, because joy is a beautiful thing. It's contagious. It spreads. But how often do we talk about joy? Because joy is something we really don't talk much about. And yet joy, it's so important. And now the shepherds, they could not feel joy. When they were confronted with something beautiful and majestic, they experienced fear, not joy. See, the shepherds, everything had failed them. Their government had failed them. And their religion, in a way, had failed them. While everybody was in the city having fun, because they were celebrating the Passover in the temple, and that was a time for joy, and everybody in the city was having fun and experiencing joy, they could not only because of their work, but because of the work that they did, their clothes would be dirty with the filth of taking care of the sheep, and they were ceremonially unclean. And they missed out on the joy. And the angel says, do not fear. I have joy. The psalmist said something very beautiful. Psalms 30:11. You turn my wailing into dancing, and you remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy. You clothe me with joy. You clothe me with joy. Joy is something that covers, something that overwhelms, that just covers everything around it. A few weeks ago, I don't know if you were here. I wasn't here, but I've seen those kids before. But we had the Connect with a Child Children's Choir from Africa. How many of you were here for that? You see those children, and those children are clothed with joy. Literally, you see those garments, the colors, they're so bright, and they're jumping up and down, and they're singing at the top of their lungs because they have been clothed with joy. They were clothed with joy. How does your heart leap with joy unless your whole body is leaping with joy? They were covered with joy. Those kids were orphans, but they found a home. They found joy. I used to be this way, but now I am this. I used to wear sackcloth, but now I am dancing with joy. Whatever comes our way, it doesn't matter because now I am clothed with joy. But maybe you say, yeah, but how can that be? You don't know the things that I am going through. Joy is just not part of my current reality right now. How can that be? Paul writes to the church in Thessalonians, a church that had been going through all sorts of suffering, persecution, financial hardship. We didn't even know everything that they were going through. But he says, you became imitators of us, of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. In the midst of severe suffering, joy is a gift. Because joy is a gift. Joy is not about the things that happen. Joy is a gift in spite of the things that happen. In the midst of extreme suffering, in the midst of everything going wrong, in the midst of things not going according to the plans, in the midst of things falling apart, in the midst of failure, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of all these things, you experience joy because joy is given as a gift. David says a prayer. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Let me hear joy. How many of us pray for joy? Have you ever prayed for joy? Many times we pray for the things that we think is going to bring us joy, right? Father, heal me for this. Father, give me this job because this job will bring me joy. Father, give me this someone because I'm sure this someone will bring me joy. Father, get rid of this because this thing is preventing me from having joy. But how many times have we asked for joy itself? Because the interesting thing about joy is that joy is not necessarily tied to all those things. Joy is a gift in itself. It says, let me hear joy and gladness, and lest these bones that have crushed. I feel right now like the bones have been crushed and they have been destroyed, and yet somehow I can still have joy. Do we ask for joy? All this week I have been praying for joy. And let me tell you something, I've experienced joy. This morning I had cheesecake for breakfast. The joy of birthdays on a Sabbath, on a Saturday. Joy. Because joy is a gift and it comes. Look at this next line and we're almost finishing. David again, Psalm 65:8. The psalmist writing again. They who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in the awe of your signs. You make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. Where is the dawn and the sunset? Where's the dawn and the sunset? Everywhere. Where can you go on the face of this earth where there is no dawn and sunset? It says, from the sunset to dawn, a very Jewish way of saying everywhere, there is joy. Because joy is the awareness that there is a gift, and this gift is everywhere. And everywhere you look, there could be a shout for joy. Because that is how joy work. It's everywhere. It's not there and it's not then. It is here and now. And so many times we ask for the things or we look for the things and we think that joy is here or joy is there and joy is in this thing. And the psalmist is saying, no, from sunset to dawn and everywhere in between, everywhere, there's a gift of joy. When Jesus spoke about joy, he used the word kairos, which is the same root word, the same original letters that make up the word charis. Have you ever heard of charity? What is charity? A gift. Because joy is a gift. Even in its language, even in its syntax, the word joy means gift. And joy is that realization that everything is a gift. Because joy is rooted in our awareness of that gift. Wednesday, I was having lunch with one of my good colleagues and another friend who just needed some time to vent. He wanted to have lunch with a couple pastors because he needed time to vent. He owns about 22 restaurants in this area. He counts his bank accounts not by seven digits, by eight. And he came because he was burdened. He was worried. And he was trying to share with us how complicated his life was. He has his daughter who works at the restaurant with him, at one of the 22 restaurants, and his son who is a co-manager. And he was just saying how hard things were, and it was so difficult, and his wife decided not to work with him anymore because she couldn't stand him when he was working, and maybe when he wasn't too, I don't know that part. They're doing great. And then it was just kind of like, wait a minute. You have work, good work. You have a son and a daughter. You have a wife. Yeah, I have all that. Wait a minute. You run 22 restaurants. They're doing well. You have a son and a daughter that are working for you happily. They love you. Do you love them? Yes, of course I love them. You have a wife, the wife of your youth. I know that. Wait a minute. You have a job. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh. Because sometimes joy is born from the awareness of the gift. Because you could have all that and still not have joy. And you could have none of that and dance with joy. Because joy is the awareness of our gift. Of the gift. That's where joy is birthed. When we become aware of the gift. Of the gift. But there's one more thing. There's one more thing about this thing, joy, and then we'll close. Because then John wrote this, which is so interesting. So joy is birthed in the realization of the gift. Sometimes you just have to stop and look that the gift is everywhere. And you have to say, oh, that was a gift. Oh, this was a gift. Oh, that breath that you just took, that's a gift. You're sitting here next to somebody, somebody that you might love, or somebody who is a complete stranger. You're here. That's a gift. You're breathing. You're walking. You're living. That's a gift. And that's where the gifts start. That's where joy is birthed. But then, this is where it comes complete. Check this out. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, writes this. What we have seen and heard, we have proclaimed to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But then check this line out. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. John is saying, my joy, I've experienced this gift, this fellowship, this state of joy, this joy that has clothed everything, that joy that is realized everywhere from sunset to dawn, this joy that can be shout out even if my bones are crushed. I can see this. I can experience this joy, but it's not complete until I share it. Until I tell you about it, until you know about this, my joy and your joy will not be complete. Because our joy is birthed from the awareness of gift. And it's as complete as that gift itself. it's shared. Action. It is the feeling, I got to do something with this kid. I have to do something about this. Early this morning, we got a surprise visit from Pastor Austin Goodman. I don't know if you met him or not, but he came and he was just static talking about his trip to Africa December 5, this week. He's going to go and spend Christmas in Africa, in Kenya to be precise. That's what he's doing for Christmas. And his heart was leaping with joy as he was talking about the children he was going to visit, a million youth that he's dreaming of impacting over the next 10 years, the bicycle that he was going to get. Because joy, when joy comes into your heart, it becomes complete when that joy drives you to say, I have to do something about this. Not only I got to do something about this, but I get to do something about this. And joy becomes complete. The men of the restaurant realized that there was a great need for somebody in the Hispanic community here to minister to youth. And he said, I guess I'm doing pretty well. How much do you need to have somebody work with the youth, for a year? Well, $30,000 might get somebody in. Okay, $30,000 right there and there. Because when you become aware of gift, you say, oh, I got to do something about it. And joy becomes complete. I'm going to end with this story. During our trip up north, I got to visit the house of William Miller. Do we have time for this? 5 minutes. 5-6 minutes. Yeah? Okay, let's do this. Maybe his name means absolutely nothing to you, but if you've been part or are somewhat familiar with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is the man that kind of started the whole thing. He was born in the 1790s, and growing up, he became a deist. He didn't believe in a God that was really engaged. He believed that God was kind of like all things, and probably what we call an agnostic today. Like, maybe God, maybe not, maybe this thing, but there's definitely not a personal God or anything like that. In 1812, he went to war. There was a war in this country in 1812. Most of you may be aware of that. And during that war, and we got to visit his home up in New York. During that war, he was already a very avid scholar, student. He studied history, and he became a captain, and he led men in several battles during the 1812 war. In one of those battles, a 4-pound shell exploded about 3 feet away from where he was, just about this distance. Obviously, that's not the one that exploded. it wouldn't be in such a way, but that is the type of shell that was used, that was shot at him and exploded within 3 feet of where he stood. Several of his soldiers were hit by the shrapnel. Two of them perished. And he walked away without a scratch. And all of a sudden he realized, all this is a gift. I'm here. I'm breathing. And that realization drove him to explore things. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. There's a book by John Maxwell called Magnificent Disappointment. It's a beautiful book that tells the story about how our church kind of came to be. But the long story short is, after coming back from war, that experience did something to him. And he became keenly aware of that gift he had received. And he sought meaning from it. And he fell in love and he thought, maybe if life is such a gift, it's here today and not gone tomorrow, there has to be something that sustains it. And he began studying and he said, you know, I don't know anything about this Jesus person, but I think he gave me this gift. And he began reading the Bible and he went from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And his friends told him, what you're telling us doesn't make sense. And he said, fine, I'm going to go and I'm going to study it until it makes sense. And during that study, he fell in love with Jesus. That is his room. And he spent about 30 years of his life every night on a desk behind this little book called a Bible and a concordance. It changed his life. He became a justice of peace in his town. He kind of coordinated the Underground Railroad that went through that part of Exeter, Maine, and New York. And eventually, even though he didn't want to do it, I wish I had time to tell you the whole story. He started talking about this Jesus. There's a story that two of the men who he served under, about 20 years after the war, got in a huge fight. They were all the way in Canada. And they both walked back to New York to meet with William Miller. They came separate ways. One came through New York and the other one came from Vermont. But they went back together to Canada. Because that's the type of man he was. He freed slaves. He talked about Jesus. During his study, he became convinced that God would come. Jesus would return. Advent. He would come. Adventists. Sometime around the year 143. He spent every year, every day that year, for hours looking out of the east window waiting for Jesus to come. Then one of his friends who was also studying the Bible tried to do a more precise interpretation of the prophecies in Daniel. They were studying 2300 days, and we could talk about that. It's fascinating. We just don't have the time. But he became convinced that Jesus would come on October 22nd of 1844. That brought him so much joy that he convinced 500,000 other people that it would happen. These people gave everything they had because Jesus was coming again. They gave everything. They sold their homes. They left their fields unfarmed because Jesus was coming. What's the point? They freed their horses. They let go of everything. They sold their businesses. 500,000 people. And on October 22nd, 1844, they stood on that rock. Not all 500,000, but William Miller and those closest to him, waiting for Jesus to return. And it didn't happen the way they had expected. In his diary, he wrote that at midnight of October 22, it seemed like all demons had been let free on this world. Do you imagine carrying in your conscience the disappointment of 500,000 people? Do you imagine carrying in your conscience the financial destruction of entire communities? People who had nothing to eat because they believed what you said, and what you said seemingly was wrong. His bones were crushed. He was covered with sackcloth. And then as I was looking through the museum, I found this, which just blew my mind. I don't think you can read that, but that is a letter, a transcript of a letter written on November 8, 1844. That's just 3 weeks after the great disappointment. And it's asking William Miller if he could help another set of slaves that was trying to escape. And guess what he did? He helped them. He lost everything. His hope were crushed. His bones were crushed. And I don't know how, but there was still joy in his heart. He never came to really understand what happened on that day. Many people who became later Seventh-day Adventists, as many of us are here in this church, criticized him. Many of them said he would burn in hell for leading so many people astray. But many, many, many years later, a journal was found on his nephew. And that did something to me when I heard it right there. On the last moments of his life, there is Eliana tying the knot on William Miller's bed. Tying the knot. The bed was held up by strings. So when you get married, you tie the knot. Jackie and Chris. That's where the saint comes from. William Miller laid in that bed. You know, his very last evening, his nephew was sitting right next to him. And he wrote these words in his diary, which were far later discovered. And William Miller's last words were, "Victory, victory, victory. Tell them we were right." And he describes that he just had a big smile in his face. Joy illuminated his countenance. And he breathed his last. What that means, I don't know. But even to his crushed bones, they can shout for joy. See, fear many times comes from the unknown. But joy comes from what is known. Fear is many times based on what could happen. But joy is based on what has happened. Fear many times is about what hasn't come and what may not come. Jesus came, and he's coming again, and Jesus is here, and he tells you, do not fear, have joy. That joy will be birthed in the moment you realize the gift that you have, and it will be complete when you let that gift flow through you into others. I don't know how you come into Advent. Maybe this year has been hard. Maybe joy has been sapped out of you. Maybe disappointments have killed the joy in your life. But Jesus says, do not fear. Have joy. Jesus says, do not fear. Have joy. Jesus said, do not fear. Have joy. Advent means expecting his coming. Advent is about us turning into that expectation of his coming. A Jesus who came to show us the gift that it is given to us. And as we turn ourselves towards that gift, we can experience joy. I want to invite you to stand for our closing song. Because as we come into this Advent season, as we bring Advent into our lives here and now, I pray that you will experience joy. Maybe as we go into this Advent season, your struggle right now is to realize the gift that you have been given. And Jesus is telling you that gift is everywhere. You just need to open your eyes and see the gift that has been given to you. Just open your eyes and those crushed bones will shout with joy. Maybe that's what you need today. And I pray that as we sing our closing song, as we invite Advent to come into our lives, this Jesus who came and who is here and who's coming again, that this gift will bring joy into your life. And maybe this joy has given birth in your heart, but maybe it's not complete yet. And then in that case, I invite you that as Advent season comes, look around you and let this gift be poured out towards others. Maybe there's someone in your home who needs the gift of joy. Maybe there is someone in your community. Maybe there is someone around you. Pastor Goodwin is asking for a tablet for Africa. He thinks that with a tablet, he can help capacitate 1 million youth. Maybe you just need to look somebody who needs something and just let that joy work. Why do we give gifts? Because there's joy in that. And let joy flow.
You know, Jonathan's not here today, and it seems like he always has a little tidbit, either that, you know, he learned from his kid or something like that. Well, our kids, I mean, they're ours. But this morning, I must be channeling him or something like that, because it's a tradition in my family when you have a birthday, you get birthday donuts at some point, you know, either that morning or sometime. And the boys this morning they were eating some donuts, and Briggs was my oldest, he's 8, he was looking at his donut, and he started talking to me about, you know, outlook on life. Very deep philosophical child, as he is. And he was looking at his donut, and he said, "Mom, most donuts have holes in them, in the center." I said, "Yeah, most donuts have holes." And he said, "What if I was so unhappy because all I was focused on was this hole in my donut? And not focused on this wonderful, delicious dessert that I have in front of me. If all I focused on was the hole, I'd be pretty unhappy, wouldn't I?" And I said, "Well, yeah. If all you saw was a hole, and you were sad because there was a hole in your donut." And he was like, "I think we should focus on the donut." I was like, "I think that's a pretty good outlook, and I think that's perfect for focusing on the joy in our life." So think about that and everything else Paulo had to say as we sing Joy to the World.
Thank you for donuts. Oh, thank you for the beauty and sweetness of the gift. May we focus on the donut, and may we share the donut, because if not, we'll just be fat. So help us, Father, to share this gift. May we leave this place fully aware that this gift is everywhere, from sunrise to sunset, from dawn to dusk, and everywhere in between. This gift is here. We are here. We're breathing. We've got each other. We've got Jesus, the most precious gift anyone has received. Help us walk out of this place increasingly aware of the gift. And as we share this gift, may this joy in us and in you become complete. Thank you for Advent. Thank you because you came. Thank you because you're here. And thank you because you're coming again. We cannot wait to see you again. Until that day comes, may our hearts shout with joy. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May you be free to let fear go away and invite joy to your life and share it with one person.